Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us, we're your people dashboard. That's right. For the longest time, HR has been trying to become more data-driven, yet a lot of you may not have the time, the team, or the skill set to be able to pull spreadsheets together and turn them into compelling data-driven dashboards in Excel or Google Sheets. And why would you need to do that? It's so time consuming. You have more important things to do, like help your employees through COVID or through all the anxiety of 2020. So use Employee Cycle to connect to your different HR systems, your Zenefits, Namely, Bamboo HR, Greenhouse, ADP, TriNet, whatever you're using, to be able to pull all your data into one real-time, beautiful, centralized people dashboard to track all your HR metrics. Go to employeecycle.com. Sign up for a free trial or reach out for a demo. We'll love to give it to you. So that's enough about me and our company, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Chelsea Craig, founder of Rhino Reviews. And today we're going to talk about how to protect your company's reputation. Chelsea, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And really, really excited to be here to have the opportunity to talk with you. Excited about your program and really thrilled to have an opportunity to help educate on how brands can really build and protect their reputations and help HR from a hiring standpoint.
Awesome. So Chelsea, the way that we like to kick off the show is to ask, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
That's a great question. So our core kind of product really focuses on businesses overall. But as you know, a business is essentially comprised, and you know, everything about the business comes from their employees. So we really started the company with the focus on growing the brand's reputation. And we very quickly learned a brand's reputation is a reflection of their people. So it kind of spiraled over into helping brands build their public reputation in regards to their customers, but also really help develop and improve their internal reputation, meaning how their employees view the company.
So just so I'm clear, you just said, correct me if I'm wrong, that a company's reputation is basically a representation of what their employees think and who their employees are. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, and obviously everyone has their own kind of interpretation of what defines a company, but really, to me, and for our opinion at Rhino Reviews, what we think is the way the public views a company is, in essence, how the employees kind of make it up, their everyday interactions with their customers, how they either, you know, deliver the product, deliver the service, and ultimately deliver for their customers affects how the public views them. So if you really kind of dial it down to its core, the public brand and reputation is a reflection of the employees and the team.
Interesting. So we know that it's a reflection of the team. But before we talk about how to protect your reputation, what exactly is your company's reputation? I mean, where can you see it? Where can you touch it? How do you interact with it?
Yeah, and that's a really great question and a fun one to get into. It's really changed a lot. Obviously, the internet, social media has accelerated and drastically changed how we interact and how we view brands nowadays. Before, obviously pre-internet, everything was word of mouth. It was marketing and advertising in its truest form. Media, meaning radio, television. Now, thanks to the internet, you know, people are going online to Google for almost everything. They say 90% of people conduct a Google search within their first interaction with a new company or brand. So they're turning online. Everything is at your fingertips. Nothing is hidden anymore. I joke, the internet, you know, Google is worse than Vegas. What happens there stays there forever. So that's where, when you talk about a reputation, the digital reputation, we refer to everything in the online space, from your social media and the accounts that you control to publicly controlled accounts, Reddit, YouTube, a lot of kind of like offline streams. And that's where when new employees are really looking up a company and trying to do that background research, that's where they're making the decision about what's the culture of this company, what is the brand, the reputation that they have amongst the employees that they'll be working with.
So I know what's probably most relevant to our audience is your company's reputation from an employment side. So sites like Indeed, Glassdoor, LinkedIn, Comparably. But because you also help companies on the reputation side from a product or service standpoint, I'm curious, do you think prospective candidates actually put that into their calculation of whether or not they're going to work at a company? So do you think they look at customer reviews or they look at product reviews to decide whether or not they actually want to work at the company, or it's mostly all about the employee side and that's totally disconnected from their decision to work at a company or not?
So I absolutely think that people take into consideration customer reviews, with the caveat being that they're subconsciously doing it. They don't realize that it's affecting their decision. And if I can take a minute and explain what I mean by that. So for example, you encounter, we'll pretend that I want to be hired by, there's this new boutique that opened down the street from me, and it is has a sign up for part-time work, and I decide I want to work there in the evenings. I am going to go online, type in that business's name into Google to find their website, their phone number, how to apply online. I'm not going to Google or going to the, you know, my search engine of choice to look up their customer reviews. But what Google does when I type that name in is, sure enough, right underneath that URL, right below that business's name, are those stars in that rating. And that is subconsciously influencing me to click that link and learn more, versus if I were to go on and see they have 70 reviews and a one-star rating, I'm not so sure I want to work at that company. So while they're not necessarily, you know, going to do that research on, you know, what's the newest product like, those reviews and that kind of branding that it puts into our mind affects that decision whether we want to take that next step into beginning to work or, you know, the interview process with that business.
That's really interesting. I used to work in search engine marketing, and so I totally get how the intended results or the results that you would like to be shown to the people searching for your business are not always the ones that are shown. And regardless of how much work you do to try to actually just show the best results, when somebody searches for your company, you don't know how they're going to search for it, what keywords they're going to put in, what site or what platform they're going to be searching. And so, yeah, you're totally right. That can bring up all different types of potential complaints or bad reviews or lawsuits or anything, even though somebody's only looking for they're just looking for the employment page or the careers page.
Yeah. And it's the same. I mean, it's in essence the same way with customers. They're going on to find your website because they want to purchase something, but those reviews are shoved in their face first and foremost. So, reviews tend to be both the first point of influence to encourage them to learn more. And then they're often the last cited piece of information when they come down to making a decision. But as far as, you know, HR and kind of the audience that we're speaking to on this podcast, primarily, unless a potential employee is really new in their search or has a specific company that they're targeting, so they're only looking up that industry, those reviews on Indeed or Glassdoor are going to be kind of the primary driver. Because if they're doing kind of a broad search for a career change, they're going to be on those kind of hiring focused platforms. In fact, they actually, Glassdoor did a study targeting specifically the software industry. And they looked at 4,000 new hires made over, I think it was a 3 or 6 month period. And they found that over 50% of them had used Glassdoor. And that was when they first came into contact with those businesses that ultimately ended up becoming their new workplaces.
So we're talking a lot about very specific platforms, LinkedIn, Indeed.
Glassdoor is another big
one. Yeah, but yeah. I'm curious, from a marketing standpoint, typically you will only have a certain amount of budget to be able to spread across a certain amount of marketing channels. So let's just say if you're marketing a product, you might say, we're going to put a little bit of that marketing budget towards Facebook, a little bit towards LinkedIn, and a little bit towards Google AdWords and Google marketing. But on the reputation side, I'm curious, Do you need to focus on a couple of the major platforms, or do you also need to make sure that your reputation is really pristine on every single platform you could find, which I'm assuming would cause you to proactively look at all of these? So for instance, as a people dashboard company, it's our job to understand where all your potential data could be. And so we have an employer brand section in our dashboard. And today we only bring in Glassdoor data, but we're constantly looking at more niche sites, like I think it's called Fairy God Boss, which allows you to show how women friendly you are and how inclusive you are to women as an organization. Like, how many of those niche sites do you have to, or should you have to try to make sure that, one, you have an account, whether it's free or paid, that you have a great reputation? And what does this entire company reputation strategy look like?
That is a wonderful question. And as you mentioned, I mean, I know just for your platform in general, you have over, I think, 10 different HR-specific kind of tools and programs that you guys are integrated with. We currently, and it's always growing because, as you just mentioned, Fairy God Boss, there's always new ones coming out. We currently are integrated and help our clients monitor over 85 different business listing platforms. Now, while what we're doing with those is we're monitoring them, the listings are created. And what a lot of companies don't realize is platforms such as Yellow Pages, Bing, Yahoo, they just scrape data. So they're creating this listing. You're not going in and creating it. So there could be false information about you, even down to simple things like a phone number. But that could prevent a customer or an employee from having that right information to contact you, and what might lead them to instead reach to someone else. So what we do with those is we're just making sure essentially that the information that's out there about you is correct. A lot of those platforms also allow customers and employees to leave reviews on them. So while we're not targeting them for a proactive, you know, review and reputation growth strategy, they're on there more from a monitoring standpoint. If something's said on them, we want to know what's going on. And that's the most important for a company, just being aware of what's being said out there, what conversation is being had in the digital space. When it comes to the actual strategy standpoint, we really encourage our clients to focus on three platforms that are the most beneficial for their business based off of the industry, the niche, and all the different pieces that go into their specific business. So when we're doing that, we really look at who they are, where their reputation currently is, and where they're looking to go in, you know, 1 to 3 years, and how we can help them get there by building up their positive reputation and brand online. For example, if we're talking with, we'll go with an easy one. If we're talking with a restaurant, Google and Yelp are going to be very strong players for them. Facebook as well. LinkedIn, not so much of a great, you know, that's not really the audience that they're trying to speak to. However, if we're talking to someone in the medical industry, Google will, again, be very strong for them. However, ZocDoc and maybe LinkedIn might be the way to go, where we can brand, you know, that key doctor and really brand them as the professional in their specific field. So I guess the short answer to your question would be you really want to focus the strategy on growing, you know, 2 to 3 of the most important platforms for your business, but make sure you're monitoring aware of what's going on, because you do want that universal kind of reputation. If you have 50 reviews and 5 stars somewhere, but then there's 6 other platforms that you're just destroyed on, both employees and customers are going to look at that, and that you want uniformity.
Interesting. So what I hear from this is to focus on the biggest platforms possible. But just to push back a little bit, I'm sure there are HR leaders listening to this thinking, okay, I totally agree with this, and this makes sense. But there might be 2 or 3 different ways that I'm trying to protect our employee or our company reputation from a proactive and a reactive standpoint, or how I like to call it, playing offense and defense. Playing offense, proactively getting in front of different types of and cohorts of people based off of a bunch of different variables so that they know we exist as a potential place to work, but then playing defense as a way to make sure that we are providing as many great reviews over the potential negative ones. And so when I think about that, I could see HR leaders saying, well, we need to be on the general platforms, call that LinkedIn, Glassdoor, Indeed. We also need to be on the industry platforms. So if you're a hospital, then that might be ZocDoc. But then there's also employee types. And so maybe you need to hire more women, or maybe you need to hire individuals from a diverse background, or maybe you're looking to hire more vets. And so you want to be on a site that's specifically targeted towards, you know, vets. So how do you figure this out, especially when it's always a moving target? Because companies are always thinking about figuring out, all right, well, where are the gaps? And then how do we potentially fill those gaps? And there's always, and they're always changing.
Yeah, it's another really great point. And I love companies. I love having opportunities to work with companies that are forward thinking like that, because you can do a lot and get very creative. And that's one of the benefits that we hope to provide when working with clients, is we help to take some of that workload, that strategy and execution off of their plate. Because as you mentioned, and any HR leader that's listening knows, they have an overwhelming amount of to-do items on their plate. And for every one that they cross off, three more are thrown on. So what we do when, what's really important is alignment. As I mentioned, we look at, hey, where is this company right now? And where are their goals in the next 1 to 3 years? And how, again, are we making sure that we're getting them to reach those goals? We like to work, so we recommend that companies create kind of 3 to 6 month strategies. And again, that's where you're looking at, we still stick with focus on three. Anything more than that, your efforts kind of get diluted. Anything less than that, and I mean, you can all, I think three is a reasonable number. And what you would do if you have those different platforms, those different strategies that we're focusing on, is, you know, that first phase of execution, you're going after the three that are the biggest bang for a buck, the most important in your industry. Then once you've kind of have those, you have a handle on them and they're really kind of built up and protected, I recommend kind of switching in and out that third one. So keep those two core platforms. And then that third one is where you can pulse in different platforms based off of your initiatives. Again, focus on that kind of 3 to 6 month strategy. And you can, within that 3 to 6 months, make sure that you're really executing, tweaking, figuring out what's working, because you don't want to lose any time with it. But you can pulse and play different platforms based off strategies, while ultimately, though, always watching the platforms that are happening out there, any conversations that are being had, but not necessarily targeting them for growth.
Talk to me about the controversial topic of removing bad reviews. It seems like companies think they can remove them. Other people don't believe they can. Some people believe that if they remove them, then it will seem like they're not being authentic. And potential or prospective employees believe that if they only see positive reviews, then they must be hiding something. Let's bust this myth, if there's even a myth to bust. What's going on with removing reviews? Should you do it?
So should you and can you? I think it's a different question. And it's definitely a myth. It's a myth in a lot of ways. I think the biggest piece of the myth is a lot of companies are really scared of negative reviews. They, you know, they get crippled by them. They think they destroy their whole reputation, when in reality, they're a great opportunity to really build your reputation, as long as, again, you're monitoring and managing them. You want to make sure you're responding to them in a professional, not emotional manner. But a lot of points that you just mentioned are very true. And there's been a ton of studies done, but they've actually shown that if you have over 25 reviews and they're all 5 stars, people look at that and they assume that they're all fake. They assume that you sat in a boardroom and had everyone pull out their phone and write a review. Customers and employees are smart. We know people love to complain, and they're going to complain online and feel that they have a platform to stand on in that space. So 1 or 2 negative reviews isn't bad, and it can actually validate and add credibility to your positive reviews. So they really shouldn't be feared, as long as they're the anomaly and not the norm. When it comes to removing reviews, you can't just go in and delete any review. People do have freedom of speech. The internet is a public place. They can say what they want to say. Now, there are violations and certain policies in play, and that's where you have the opportunity to go in and remove a review. If a review crosses any of those violations and policies, 100% you should go at it full force and have it taken down, because those policies are often, they're obvious ones. It's, are there curse words? Is there privacy concerns for someone? Was there any type of incentive provided? Was there conflict of interest? But I 100% encourage and always do try and pursue review removal if they've crossed grounds. You'll get your own negative reviews, rightfully so. The ones that you can take down, fight that battle.
You heard it first here. You cannot remove reviews. And even if you could, you should not try to. Heard it first.
Yeah, well, the ones that violate policies do, but they have to be agreed. You have to like appeal. Unfortunately, yeah, you cannot just go in and straight delete any review that you want.
Got it. And so to end this interview, I would like to ask you, for all of the HR leaders and people ops leaders listening to this and hanging on to every word because this is something that they care about, especially in this remote world where people can't see your office. And so this is what they're going to rely on to make employee decisions and potential purchasing and buying decisions. If the people listening to this don't remember anything else, what's the one thing that you would want them to take away from this interview?
Hard for me to limit it to one because I think we've had such a great conversation. But to me, I think the most important is just monitoring those platforms. There are a lot of them, but if you're not aware of what's being said out there, your hiring and kind of interview process, it makes you vulnerable to potential candidates bringing something up at the bare minimum. Even if you don't have the ability or the bandwidth to proactively come up with a solution, just monitor so that you're aware and can handle it when it's brought up in the non-digital space.
Awesome. Chelsea, thank you so much for this awesome conversation. I learned a lot. I really enjoyed chatting with you. This was fun. And you were doing some myth busting here. So we got to do some breaking news on the show too, which is great. I really appreciate it. So thanks so much for dropping all the knowledge and sharing all your insights about this topic. Thanks for being on the show.
Woo! Chelsea!
Thank you.
So where can people find you and your company online?
Yeah, we are on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, as well as our website is rhino-reviews.com. You can also email me directly at chelsea@rhino-reviews.com, and I'd be happy to answer any and all questions that I can.
Awesome. And we'll definitely put all that info in the show notes. So everyone listening out there, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Chelsea and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star review. Why? Because you just heard about the importance of reviews. And if you listen to this and you said, well, Bruce, you already have enough 5-star reviews, I want to give you a 4-star. I guess that's fine if you want people to believe us, but I still want you to give us a 5-star review because that shows that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the very first episode of ours that you've ever listened to and you came to this episode because you're already a super fan of Chelsea or you thought that this topic was pretty compelling, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please download and subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And last but not least, are you HR and people leaders out there? Please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.